This is an MUT Radio podcast.
We are now about to engage with our online speaker, Ms. Zana. As soon as Ms. Zana tunes in, can she kindly give us a green light? Then we're going to confirm. Oh, okay. Perfect. Are we audible that side, Ms. Zana?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, we can perfectly hear you as well. Can our production team also prepare the presentation? I assume it will also be up on the screen.
So for those who are in the room, students, if you're interested in entering, coordinators that would like to share this opportunity with their students, this is your opportunity to listen in. Luckily, whatever I cannot cover today is going to be available on the EDI website. For the online participants, I've shared the link, and I'm sure that all of the information will indeed be available on our EDI website with all the information there as well. Right, so let me just quickly check here. All right, so firstly, to give you an overview of the competition is a dynamic, future-focused entrepreneurship competition designed to uncover and support bold, original solutions that address South Africa's and the world's most pressing societal challenges aimed at university students and alumni. So that's the one thing that makes this competition very unique. We are not just looking for any type of business. This is not just your average kind of competition. We are looking for real, actual innovation that solves real problems. So that is a critical part of this competition. And then also we are very excited to open it up to alumni. I am going to share a little bit of the eligibility criteria. So please listen carefully. It is not available to all alumni, all ages, but there is going to be some restrictions in that sense, but we are looking for real innovation. So at the heart of the challenge, it is commitment to innovation. The competition seeks ideas that break new grounds and have the power to reshape communities, industries, and systems. Students are encouraged to think beyond conventional boundaries, offering solutions that are innovative, impactful, feasible, and scalable, regardless of the tools or platforms they use. Then, what is innovation? What does innovation mean? So what we mean by innovation is this is the development of original solutions, either products, services, systems, or processes that address real-world problems or opportunities in a novel, impactful way. And this includes both high-tech and non-tech solutions. All right? Competition look like the time frame, the different phases of the competition. So firstly, obviously today we are in phase two where we've launched this innovation challenge. Then in phase three, we will open up the entries from the 25th of June. That is today. So visit the EDI website to look out what is happening so that you can get your entry ready. Then phase four is shortlisting by the university coordinators. For those of you that do not know, we have entrepreneurship or student entrepreneurship coordinators at each of our universities, whether they are academics or support professionals, but they drive student entrepreneurship within their organizations. So they are in charge of all of the EDI student projects, and in some cases more, they form part of our communities of practices. And for this competition and for all things student entrepreneurship, we have a dedicated student entrepreneurship community of practice, which consists then of these coordinators, our EDI champions, and they will be the contact persons should any student need more information about their competition or entries at their universities. So the universities will do the first shortlisting of the entries, so please make sure that you submit accurately, and if you have questions, you are welcome to reach out to your university. The university coordinators, the list is also on our EDI website. To the online participants, I've pasted that link to the contact details as well. Then we're moving on to phase five, evaluations and shortlisting of 20 ideas, followed by the announcement of the participants. So after this, we only select the top 20 All right. Then following that is going to be a bootcamp and a mentor allocation process. So we are taking our top 20 on a two-day bootcamp, and we will assign them each a mentor that will guide them through the next phase of the competition. Following that, there will be a mentorship program that will take place over 8 weeks, including about 8 contact sessions, and that will be between September and November. And then we move on to the final phases, which is then the finals pitching and awards, taking place on the 19th and the 21st of November. And then we announce the top 5 winners. The top 5 winners will then move on to a dedicated incubation program where they will have an opportunity to refine their business innovations. So what exactly is this competition looking for? The competition is not just about launching the next ordinary business, like I've mentioned earlier. It is about identifying and nurturing ideas that break the mold, challenge the status quo, and demonstrate transformative thinking. So we are looking for innovation and originality. We are looking for problem solution fit, solution market fit, transformative impact, radical creativity over replication, feasibility and development potential, sustainable solutions to emerging or overlooked problems, concepts that reimagine industries, communities, or systems, future-oriented thinking, not just market readiness, scalability, replicability and impact, and then lastly, innovation beyond technology. The judging criteria will also be available online in the terms and conditions document. So please look at that before you enter, because the entry form will ask the relevant information. Then how does the evaluation process work? So after entering on the EDI website, the university internal shortlisting will take place, as I've mentioned, but very importantly, per university, we will select the top 2 innovations, top 2 student businesses. Then from that group, we will be putting a panel of experts together, including partners, our recommendations from APSA. And we will then select our top 20. And as mentioned, the top 20 will then go through to the next rounds. So what does the eligibility criteria more or less look like? Also outlined in the terms of conditions document, we often see that there's a lot of queries, a lot of questions, a lot of students that want to enter, but they're not sure, is this right or is this wrong? And then some of the answers are actually in the terms and conditions document. So we take a lot of time to develop that terms and conditions, to explain some of the concepts, to give you examples, to give you the judging criteria, to prepare you really quite well for your entry. So please, students, I know that you, through your studies, you already have so much reading to do, but this is going to be worth your while if you actually take the time to read through the documentation. So the competition is open to students who are, firstly, registered at one of the 26 public universities in South Africa. And those are the 26 universities that USAF, University South Africa, supports. That is our mandate. And alumni from a public South African university who have completed their studies between 2022 and 2025. So unfortunately, people at my age, which I will not mention, yes, I am part of the alumni of my university, but I will not be able to qualify because I am too old. So please have a look at that. And then entrants must preferably be South African citizens, but not limited to. Please go and look at the terms and conditions documents. All entrants must be classified as youth under 35 years old at the time of entry, and then participants may enter individually or in teams of up to 5 members. So again, the eligibility criteria, terms and conditions on the EDI website. So the themes and areas of impact but not limited to, you will see from this documentation or the documents that there are no restrictions in terms of categories or industries. To guide and inspire thinking, this competition draws from broad areas like areas that reflect the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, the SDGs. A lot of you have been hearing about this. We've been pushing this agenda through the universities and through other competitions as well. And this will be this will help us to be offering a meaningful framework for global and local impact, which is very important. And then these themes are not rigid categories, but rather points of reference to help participants identify how their ideas contribute to solving societal problems. So we are definitely looking for originality, relevance, and impact potential for the innovation. Right, we are outlining some of the different industries also in the document, the terms and conditions document. So we make a long list of what is available.
Sorry.
And you will entry form, yes.
Right, test.
Okay. So on your entry form, you will have to indicate what type of business you have and what industry it falls into. So please make sure that you align it accordingly, especially if you have a tech business. Really make sure that it is actual tech. And there we outline some of that as well in the documentation. And listen, Google is your friend. ChatGPT is your friend. If there's any terminology that you don't understand in today's time, you have all the resources you need to make sure that your entry is accurate.
Ms. Zana, sorry to disturb.
Yes.
We have 1 minute left.
Thank you. I'm finishing in 1 minute. Then very lastly, visit the EDI website. These are your next steps. Visit the EDI website. You have an opportunity now. Go and look there on the landing page. It will flag the EDI APSA Innovation Challenge. Then read the eligibility terms and conditions. Connect with your university student entrepreneurship coordinator. Prepare your submission for entry. And then complete the entry form. Sandile Shabalala is our senior student engagement officer. He is taking lead on this project. And he will be your contact point for any questions. So for more information about the competition, please follow us on all our social media platforms and reach out if you have any questions. All the best and good luck with the competition. 5 prizes up for grabs, big prizes up for grabs, so make it worth our while. Thank you, everybody. That's me, Zana Bosso, from the EDI team here in Gauteng, and wishing you all the best and a lovely rest of your day further.
Good Thank day. You so much, Ms. Zama. Can we give her a round of applause? Okay, Ms. Zana, before you leave, can we kindly have the screen back? Because I think she missed a very important part of which is the prize breakdown. Through my kettles here, I'll just give her 1 minute to just go through the prize breakdown.
Oh, the prize breakdown. Let me quickly share my screen again. Yes, that is crucial. Let me quickly go back. It is here. All right, so Dr. Gumu has mentioned that there is big prizes up for grabs. And thank you to APSA, our new partner. We are very excited to be announcing that the first prize for the best innovative business is 500,000 Rand. It's $500,000, okay? Yo, it's a lot of money. Then secondly, so we're not going to just give you one big prize. There are 5 big prizes. The second prize is 250,000 Rand. Third prize, 150,000 Rand. Fourth prize, 100,000 Rand. And then lastly, a fifth prize as well, 50,000 Rand. Sibiwe, I think if that doesn't get people excited, then I don't know what will. So it's very exciting for me to be doing this together with APSA and the university. So all the best, everybody. And that's all from me. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Zama. Can you give her a round of applause? If you could see their cheeks, Ms. Zana, they are up there. They are very excited about the prize. Right now, I'll be calling my right-hand person, Ms. Ntsegi Mkhize, that we've been running it throughout the program in coordination with so many people who are involved. She will be leading the panel discussion. I think our innovators are quite aware that they will be engaging in our panel discussion. But to make things easier, we are going to call them by names. Can we have Mr. Andile Mkhize, who is the founder of AgriValue from Mangosuthu University of Technology, come to stage? Oh, by the way, I almost did a serious injustice and inconsistency. Ms. Ntsiki Mkhize will be the moderator, is a stakeholder and partnership manager at EDHE Universities South Africa. Ngicela simshayele ihlombe inkosi yami. Okay, our second panelist is Ms. Anga Mzozo, who is the co-founder of AL Winery, University of Zululand. Can we also have Mr. Luyanda Mkhunu, who is the founder of Grocery SA from University of KwaZulu-Natal? DJ, these are young people. Study going to can we also have Mr. Emmanuel Kionga, who's the founder of Ima Ciatics, Sefako Mahoto Health Science University? While Mr. Emmanuel is entering the stage, can we have Mr. Promise Songat, who's the co-founder of ProLand and Project, from Rhodes University, the traditional man himself? Can we also have Dr. Vasils, who is the co-founder and chief executive officer of Urob Biotech from Stellenbosch University? Can you give him a round of applause? While Doctor enters the stage, can we have Miss Humeria Hassan, who is the co-founder of Aka Green Technologies from Durban University of Technology?
I'll hand it to you. Okay, fantastic. Welcome. Thank you so much. Sanibonani. Ninjani. When you get here, you realize that South Africa is divided. And I was just like, I need to move to KZN because I am so my name is Ntsiki Mkhize. I am the Stakeholder and Partnerships Manager at EDHE. And it's really great to be here because I think one of the key things around the work that we do is to actually see the impact of that work. And I think there's no greater impact than to have our entrepreneurs with us as part of this panel. And really just the purpose of this panel is to showcase the work that our entrepreneurs are doing, the impact that they have, but also to help you see the kinds of innovations that come out of our institutions. Just to the panel that's here, to the people that are listening online and to some of the entrepreneurs in the room, ne? Ngiyacela. I don't know what you're studying, but ngiyacela. I woke up, I blew out my hair, I straightened it. Then the humidity in Durban said, no. Okay. So if you saw me this morning, my hair was like this. It was flat like this. And now it is. I think by the time I leave, it'll be like here. So if you can just innovate something, you know, natural, you know, local ingredients, just, you know, paraben free, all those things. I am your first client, even if you want to test it on me. So just a personal request to say, you know, we want to not worry about our hair when we come to KZN. Okay, so I want to start with our panelists, and we can go from this side all the way down. Please just give us in the room an indication of what your business actually does, because I think we can read the name and have an idea, but not really know what goes behind this. So just the inspiration of your business and what the business actually does.
Good day, everyone. My name is Humaira, and I'm from the Durban University of Technology. I'm from the Institute for Water and Wastewater Technology. So at our institute, we work mostly in the space of water as well as algal biotechnology. So our business is actually centered around algae cultivation. So, you know, sometimes when if anybody has pools and your pool gets kind of dirty and it looks green, that's actually algae that's in your pool. So we actually harvest this algae and we use it as a feed supplement for aquaculture. So what it does, it basically, it enhances the growth of fish because the algae itself has a lot of proteins, amino acids, etc. And this is very, very nutritious for the fish. So in our research that we conducted, we found that it improves the growth performance of fish, their health, the nutritional profile, digestibility, etc. And it's an affordable ingredient compared to fish meal, which is currently it's in high demand and it's expensive as well. So algae is sort of a natural alternative. So that's where we are heading.
Yeah. Thank you. Hi everyone. So I'm Basil Myberg. I'm from Europa Biotech, and we're a Stellenbosch University spin-off company. We spun off about 2 years ago. Actually, coincidentally, on the same time we participated in the first EDHE competition. So basically what we do is about 5 years ago, we noticed that there are these large industrial facilities in Europe that are struggling to process a certain type of plastic. It's causing them a lot of processing problems and it's costing them a lot of money because they typically send it to incinerators, so waste to energy plants. So what we did is we developed a biotech solution to this problem by using enzymes, which are essentially molecular biocatalysts and microbes, to break down these plastics and produce a high-value chemical from it. So we're not commercial yet. We're not operating yet. We're still in the development phase, but we are moving quickly and taking South Africa to the world with this technology. So this is really cool.
Is it not on? Say hello.
Yeah, hello.
Hello.
Hello, everyone. My name is Undobeko Swangata. Oh, Ungati Uatu Koko Chumchizumi and Jok Bak Pizul. Barke, our business is Proline Biotech, and we developed a device called Petrichem. One would wonder, why am I wearing like this? Because this is also tied to the story why we started Petrichem. As someone from the rural areas, especially around COVID, you know that most of the people who died, or even take it back to the outbreak of Filisteria in SA, died because there was a lack of devices out there that could monitor and track bacteria in real time, to a point whereby it was only noticed when there was already an outbreak. And currently, especially in Eastern Cape and in KZN, there's about tons of packages on Wednesday that are collecting samples in the rural clinics, driving them to the path labs in the cities. So basically, we developed Petrichem, a compact device for monitoring bacteria and fungi in real time. What the system does, it allows you to monitor your bacteria does the calculation for you and then also does the analysis. And the nice thing with the device, though we're still at the development stage, you can use it in health, in healthcare sector, those who deal with the antibiotic resistance. You can use it in food sector, those who deal with the foodborne diseases, environmental sector, as well as within the agricultural sector. Angus.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Emmanuel Bionga. I'm the founder of Emaceutics. It's a pharmaceutical company which deals with groundbreaking. We develop groundbreaking health solutions through medication. I'm the winner of the EGH Student Premier of the Year 2024. From Makato Health Science University, formerly known as Magunsa, where I was doing my master's in pharmacy. I'm a pharmacist by profession. Through my company, we have developed a cancer treatment for breast cancer specifically and postmenopausal osteoporosis. And now, with the assistance of the EDHE and TIA and so many other partners, we're expanding into, we're now developing a nyaupe antagonist. You know, when you take nyaupe, there's a drug which they use called efavirenz, which they mix with wheat and they develop nyaupe. So me, I'm interested in these difficult conditions. So I'm developing an antagonist, a drug which you take, which will take the desire to smoke nyaupe. I'm also developing, we're also developing another drug for, because we are very passionate about women, you know. Period pains are a problem. I mean, you can't expect a woman who is on periods to compete with a man who is feeling nothing. So we're developing a drug which can kill that pain instantly through Emaceutics. We're also developing another drug. There's a drug called docetaxel for lung cancer, but it has challenges. You know, these cancer drugs, most of them are a problem, you know. They're expensive, low bioavailability, low solubility. So we're developing another lung cancer drug through Emaceutics. So we deal with those groundbreaking innovations and drugs, specifically in the pharmaceutical sector, dealing with structure-activity relationship. We play around with the structure of the drug. We use a new technique which we developed called heat-cool. I won't go in detail to develop groundbreaking innovations. Right now, we have one patent, which is at the PCT application level, and we're filing for more patents. Thank you very much.
Greetings, everybody. Sanibona, ikamala. My name is Luyanda Mkhulu. I'm a fourth-year medical student at UKZN. So my business is Grocify SA, which is an e-commerce platform that has the multiple retailers inside. You can be able to shop in multiple retailers and able to see the special, regardless of where you are, regardless of where you shop. So developing this solution or the app, something we're passionate about was the problem that is occurring in South Africa, which is that most of the people, they cannot afford the groceries or they pay more than what they should be paying. On the other side, we've noticed that the retailers, they have food that goes unsold at a particular time, and those food just go to the wastage. That contributes to the food insecurities. So we've developed an app so that people can be able to see those special and able to buy them quickly before they go to the wastage. So in our journey, we started last year. And we've been doing so well because last year when we started, we were the second runner-up in UKZN, Bank of all campuses. We have been the internal, and on the following month, we became the internal round winners of the AMROOT Innovation Challenge. And in this year, we became the overall pitch bag winner of the Nexa Finance pitch bag, and I've been presenting this solution in the Youth BRICS Innovation Summit that 2025 that was hosted in Cape Town. So we have been developing the app, and we're working with the local retailers that are located in the area where I live at Umbilo, and we are in we are in engaging conversation with the retail group of KZN. Thank you.
Good day, everyone. My name is Anga Mzozo. Many of the studentpreneurs may remember me as Bai Nana. One of the other co-founders for AL Winery is my best friend, Lihlohonolo Mokgashwa. So where AL Winery comes from is that we wanted to turn our theory into something practical, something that will assist our communities and also build job opportunities for unemployed youth. So during our food microbiology course, we realized that we can actually develop a product that will help our community. So we realized that street vendors often discard their overripe bananas. And when we did more research, we found out only in Langezwa and in Bangin, about 50 plus street vendors lose a lot of money due to discarding these overripe bananas. And we also realized that in fruit markets, they also discard a lot of overripe bananas. So we're like, how can we turn this into something that will benefit our communities? We then develop a non-alcoholic banana wine using these overripe bananas. In that way, we reduced our food waste while building sustainable communities. So in our journey with AL Winery, we have received a lot of opportunities. We got a chance to represent South Africa in the World Cup that was held by Enectus in Asia. And we won a lot of sponsorships from Ford, Harmony, EDHE, and also the Hall Prize competition. And we hope that we will continue to build our communities and actually tackle more street vendors throughout South Africa, in Africa, and worldwide.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Andile Mkhize. I'm a student here at MUT, so ngiyanamukela ekhaya. So I'm a founder of AgriValue. So it's a company which is AgriSeed accredited. So we are very passionate about skills development. So we run a number of projects where we upskill farmers. So I've been working in Spain for a number of years. But as we were doing this skill development, we found that it will be very difficult to provide support, physical support to these farmers. Then that's where I began to do some research on different number of technologies. Then that's where we are currently using crop monitoring, which is a solution where we are able to monitor the crops of the farmers. At the comfort of my home, I can monitor a farm which is based in Enwotu. So that is because we understand that one of the challenges that I faced back then is that I lost a number of crops because an extension officer couldn't really arrive in time in my farm. Then that is the challenge that you want to bridge. So I'm currently part of a greenhouse project, which is funded by Nedbank with a fund, which we really can't disclose. So they will be assisting us in better developing the tech stack of the solution we are currently using. So I thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Please give them a round of applause. Like, this is innovation. And I think for the students who are joining online and those who are in the room, right, we're not sharing this to go, this is the only innovations that we want, but we want to for you to see that example of the kinds of innovations that exist. And I think when we talk about entrepreneurship development in higher education, we are saying everybody, regardless of what it is that you are studying, you can be entrepreneurial, right? So none of you are studying commerce, no? All of them, innovations from the research that they have done, which now needs to be commercialized and go into industry. And that is the support that we want to give. We don't have a lot of time for the panel discussion, but I do want to double click on a couple of things. So I want to start with you. If you could maybe talk to the process, so you've worked with your university on doing your research and then getting it, you're in the process of commercialization, right? So if you could just maybe speak a little bit to that. And then Dr. Vessels, if you can speak a little bit to what does it take to actually become a spin-out company? So for people who are studying and going, oh, that's exactly where I want to be, what does that practically look like? So I'll start with those two questions and then I'll do the next round of questions. So you can go first.
No.
Thank you for that brilliant question. The drug which we discovered, I like calling it a scientific miracle, because while I was doing my Master of Pharmacy at SMU, I was supervised by experts, Dr. Poka, Dr. Witika, and Professor Yaya Chunara from VETS, and Professor Prade from VETS are my co-supervisors. And then there is what we call characterization. When you're in the lab and developing something new, you characterize it. So when we characterized, we found some weird characters about this molecule. And then that's my supervisors. And
try this one.
That's when I called in my supervisors and they were impressed. So the process was, after we discovered there was something unique about this drug, we ran what we call a single crystal XRD, which now indicated that this is a new molecule which exists nowhere in the world. I started to present at research days. And then while I was presenting, there was IC offices here, but in SMU, we have what we call a technology transfer office, a TTO. So the leader of the TTO noticed that I'm making a mistake. Someone could steal the idea. So he called me to his office and he said, let's file for patenting. And then they did a novelty search. They filed for patenting. I paid no cent. The university paid for everything, the patenting. Well, when the patent was approved, now we started to officially present even to EDHE, where we won the awards. And then we started getting sponsorships from TIA, which funded now the level the drug is at, which is the preclinical trials, which is the animal study. So basically, to answer your question, that was the process from school to IP protection. But all these institutions exist in institutions of higher learning. Government has instituted technology transfer offices at every institution. So once you have an innovation as a student, approach these offices. They will do a novelty search for you. They will make sure that your idea is protected, because that's step one. Before you go out there, it must be protected, IP protected, before anyone steals it. Thank you very much.
We went through a very similar process actually as well with our innovation, you know, with the TTO first registering and so on. So I would definitely tell students, reach out to those entities within your universities, talk to them. We can talk about what our processes were at our different institutions, but the fact of the matter is most institutions have their own mechanisms. They're generally quite similar, but they have their own mechanisms of how they handle it. And so best is to get in touch with your TTO. If you think you've got something super novel, something world-changing, you know, best is to protect yourself and protect the universities of that IP and then take it from there. After we started the patent filing process and so on, you know, I realized that there's a business opportunity here. And it's either going to be some big business in Europe that's going to buy the patent from the university or license the patent from the university, or we have an opportunity to actually do it ourselves. And I decided that I want to really give it a good go and try and do this with one of my founders. So the process for spinning out with Stellenbosch University, I can only speak to Stellenbosch University's process. But you typically do you go through quite a comprehensive due diligence process. So it's not only about the innovation. The universities want to see, do you understand how you're going to build a business around this innovation? Because it's one thing discovering exceptional, you know, anti-cancer drug and so on, which has massive, massive applications. But understanding how are you going to make money off of that? How are you going to manage the IP around that? How are you going to actually commercialize that? It's a different story. And the universities typically want to see that you understand that process on how you can actually build a company off of it. So after we went through that due diligence process with the university, also the different universities have different protocols on if they take shareholding in the company or if they don't take shareholding in the company. And that's typically quite a negotiation process with the universities as well. What it boils down to is it's a long road for you to walk to spin out a company from a university innovation. What advice I would give around that is be sure that you're in this for the long run. Be sure that your innovation is impactful enough to go through the hard times and actually do this with the university. But when you've gone through all of that, the university is an exceptional, exceptional partner for you to have. Investors like seeing universities on especially deep tech companies. It gives you an academic and a scientific backup that non-university affiliated startups don't typically have. So yeah, in a nutshell.
Awesome. No, thank you so much. And I think for the students listening, yes, give them a round of applause. And what's key here for the students listening is to say that you're not alone. Your hand will be held along the journey, right? So academically, from a research perspective, but also from the perspective of giving the funding, R100,000 if you win, means you can do a lot towards your business, right? So that's quite significant. And thank you to APSA for that. And then even with the communities of practice and your coordinators, we are here to support you from an entrepreneurship perspective to figure out what the business around your innovation looks like. I'd like to come to Anga and Luyanda to speak about challenges, because I think when you were talking, I thought about challenges from two different perspectives, right? So Anga, on your side, the ability to go into a sector where we don't have a lot of data, right? So you're going to street vendors who are discarding bananas. Maybe speaking to the process of, if somebody's wanting to work with a market where the data is not available, how did you first begin your mapping exercise? And then Luyanda, I think on your side, being a student who is studying medicine, but is doing a tech innovation, some of the challenges you faced in getting the support to actually work through your tech innovation, if any.
Okay, thank you for the question. So I think for us, the most challenging thing has to be like being a science student and actually having to go interview street vendors and stuff, because as you mentioned that there's not enough data available. So we had to jump in taxis, go to our nearby town. And considering that Gadlangas was actually quite a hot place, and we have to gather those bananas on our own and things like that, I think for us, that was our major challenge. But we hope that we exposed like this problem for more people to actually focus on our street vendors, because there are a lot of challenges that they're actually facing.
Okay, thank you so much for the question. So one of the challenges that I had during the app development was that I didn't have the coding skills. I didn't have any skills regarding the app development. So my journey was solely based on science from high school and medicine in the university. So one of the challenges I had, I tried to secure some partnership and collaboration with people who have software skills, but most of them, they were unable to deliver in such an extent that I had to learn those skills at my own and try to navigate the journey. So one of the programs that helped me is Inectus UKZN, where I started learning no-code skills, where you can develop an app without using a coding. So that's where I first developed my first prototype. And after that, I've been enrolled in the coding skills to make sure that I can be able to deliver. Thank you so much.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. And I think that's the benefit of being part of a university ecosystem is that you can find those kinds of resources. And I think that's the great thing about starting a business in school. I want to go to the last three entrepreneurs that we haven't heard from yet and just find out from each of you the next steps for your business. You know, so what kind of support is required for you to go from where you are to where you'd like to see your business go to next? So I'll start here and then we'll go down that way.
So for us, we are quite far in the business. So in terms of this, in terms of research-based business, you get the TRL levels. So we are at the last stage and now it's onto commercialization. So it's about now us finding clients or finding suitable fish farmers or fish feed producers to sell our algae to. So it's a bit challenging, but we are looking, and hopefully with the assistance of the university, we can take this through to fruition to where we want to see it to be, for it to actually be an operational business. Yeah.
Awesome. As the mic goes down, any fish farmers in the room, or if you know a fish farmer, please reach out.
And for us, currently we're at TR level 4. She's covered most of the part. But the nice thing that I think for Mna, the foundation has been laid. By that, I mean that Mna, I was identified by it back in 2020 when I was starting my MSc. And then from then, competing here made me refine e-business. I'm going on to win the Eastern Cape Innovation Challenge. So with that collaboration there. Then from there, I refined the TRL 1, TRL 2, and then only went to compete again, go 8, because I went to the finals twice. When that's where SAP then recognized me from 8, and then I went to compete to the Social Innovation Awards. And then from there, we won that one as well. So now currently we are refining our third generation prototype into fourth generation, so that we can start piloting, and then from piloting, then we can start launching. And the nice thing is that when I'm having spaces like this, especially from 8, then from there now, we got introduced to the guys from UTI as well, from the idea that we started in AS, now it's a fundable one. So now what we did now is access one, and us to be supported by institutions, because currently I'm trying to finish my PhD. So now having to juggle between business and finishing the PhD, and then on the other side, you have your supervisor that has expectations. Now you go to a place, now come to H, let me explain. But the nice thing with having structures such as H, they are going to write emails. So now if you can get more support and then get access, then I guess by August next year, then we can start launching.
No, Cesar, I'll tumela my email. Thank you. Can we get that last comment? And then I'll take two questions from the audience, two very brief questions. So if anybody does have a question, please just raise your hand so we know to get a mic to you, and then we will wrap up our panel discussion.
Thank you. Currently, as a business, as we have identified a gap that in the agricultural space, there are a number of people who are developing solutions. But the challenge is that how are the farmers finding those solutions? So we want to operate in that space. So we want to become an agri-tech hub where we incorporate more of technological application to these farmers. So we are currently in that space working with my mentors, Zakeni Ngubo and Mohammed, which I found on NetBank. So we are currently in that space. And we are also exploring on creating an online agricultural school. But we shall see is what the future holds.
All right, thank you so much. Prof Tia, your question?
Yes, for the candidate finishing off the PhD, how do you see the new knowledge, the innovation that you need to produce as a postgraduate candidate PhD student with the innovation that you want to produce as a business? How do you bring this PhD study innovation together with your business innovation?
A good question. Yes, maybe let me start by saying that I never planned to do a PhD, but PhD found me. So I was like, okay, now that the MSc is read, I was stuck between submitting my thesis and then graduating or staying within the system. So I had to beg the university not to publish and not to submit. And they're like, okay, then if we are not submitting what we are doing so long, that gave me 3 months. And then they got the TTO. But now the next thing, okay, since I'm within the biotech space and I'm from the rural areas, and now everyone knows that, okay, currently, one of the legislation changes, especially when it comes to cannabis. Because see, Germany just last year, that's when they started taking it seriously, and it's already reaping billions for them. So like, you know what? Since I'm more focusing on social impact, especially for underserved and the underprivileged, so I decided to take a PhD project in biotech that focuses on developing a device that allows you to monitor cannabinoid profiles in cannabis. So that even by the time our country finishes the legislation, the farmers in the tip town of Umatimatolo in Ngwelin in Pizana, they can be able to use those devices to test their extracts, their plants, so that they can be able to meet the needs of the market. So even this device, it's called CannaSense, that one. It's a pipeline. It's also once in our currently conversation with our TTO, it's going to be licensed to Proland as well. So Petrochem is our flagship. Then the one that we're developing for a PhD is coming into Proland as well. So it's basically the R&D for the business. So we're using the institution to our own advantage. Thank you.
Fantastic. Is there one more question and then we can wrap up our panel? I didn't see where the mic went. Okay, I think the floor is good. Thank you so much, guys. These are the innovations that we have, and I think I'm really proud to hear what is coming out of our universities, to see the work that you're doing, but also to go that you've had these ideas, you've aligned them to your studies where you can, and that you're actually then doing the work to go, how do I turn this from what I'm studying into a business? And we look forward to seeing more of that from those of you in the room and those of you online that are going to be participating in the EDI APSA Innovation Challenge. And may the best innovation win, but all the innovations are amazing. Please give our entrepreneurs a wonderful round of applause. The gifts are for you as well, so please do take your goodie bag on the way down. And I'm going to hand back to our MC who's over here. Thank you so much, MC, for this Phatsele program. I know I took a little bit of your time, but I think our studentpreneurs needed to share what they're doing. Thank you so much.
Mic test. Thank you so much to our panelist, Sis Ntsiki. Your apology is warmly accepted. Osingaye phela lapha. So they really deserved more than enough time. And it's very much pleasing to actually see the potential that young people have. I now understand when the old stars says that the future of this world is in young people. And if indeed the country takes care of young people, who will definitely have a bright future ahead. So can we give a round of applause to our panelists? Can we have on stage Dr. Thulile Duma, who is the Senior Lecturer at Human Resource Management at Mangosuthu University of Technology, who will be introducing the Acting Deputy Vice Chancellor, Resource and Planning, Mangosuthu University of Technology. While Doctor is coming on stage, can we give a round of applause?
Thank you. Good afternoon to our executive management at MUT, our esteemed guests, our sister universities, and to our billionaires in the room. Yeah. So I have pleasure to introduce our DBC Resource and Planning at MUT, that is Dr. Jangase. Dr. Jangase, besides being Dr. Jangase at MUT, he is also an associate professor at the School of Management, IT and Public Governance at UKZN. He has a very good history, academic history, which started here at KZN, where he was studying at UKZN and also became a lecturer at UKZN. He has also worked at DUT and moved to TUT. And he stayed there at least for 4 years. And then he decided, no way, let me come back and plow back what I have learned all these years at MUT. And then at NUT, he is our dean. Currently, he is our dean of Faculty of Management Sciences. And the Faculty of Management Sciences has 5 departments. And also, Dr. Jangase has received several awards. Amongst those awards, that was a Gold Research Award, which he received in 2023. In total, he has published more than 20 publications and attended more than 15 conferences in locally as well as international conferences. He has also published several book chapters, and he has also supervised 14 masters and 2 PhDs, and also has examined about 16 masters and 5 PhDs. And amongst the awards also that he got, he received 3.5 million from the National Department of Human Settlement. That is one of his expertise. And Dr. Njangase also is involved in community engagement projects. There are several projects that he is involved in. And part of those projects is food security, health and safety, and which is running currently. And he was also involved, and also involved, I think it's ongoing, in the skills development, where he was working with Mrs. Mthembu in social entrepreneurship. Dr. Njangase has made it easy for MUT to integrate entrepreneurship into our program. And the Faculty of Management Sciences in the Department of Accounting, that is the hosting department when it comes to entrepreneurship. They are assisting the management. Now I'm including all of them. They have made it so possible for us to take on the Wadwana program. They have established a wonderful laboratory that Mrs. Simthembu showed us here. And it was through the efforts that Dr. Njanga has made for us to offer Wadwana program, which many students have studied. About 1,000 students have been through that project. And he has been very instrumental. And thank you, Dr. Njanga. Help me welcome Dr. Njanga on stage. Thank you. Oh.
All right, Sanbonani, Aninjani, Siyaphila Nathi, Vice Chancellor, Deputy Vice Chancellor who's here, and the executive management that is here, our guest, Absa Bank, our sister universities, UKZN, DUT, and UNISU. Students who are here, where are you? This is your day. You have to show that you are alive. As we are coming to the end of this great event for today, let me take this opportunity and to say thank you very much to Dieshi and to Absa Bank for the support that they're giving us as the universities. And at the end of the day, we are here today to make sure that we do take the issue of entrepreneurship serious, as we all aware that the entrepreneurship, we regard it as a solution for unemployment in the country. As we know that the unemployment rate in the country is so high, sometimes we have graduates that are unemployed, not because sometimes they're unemployable, but because the market is failing to absorb them. Therefore, the aspect of entrepreneurship needs to be taken seriously by all universities. While we're there as the faculty, as MUT and the Faculty of Management Sciences, we started this years back to ensure that we introduce the entrepreneurship element in whatever the programs that we're offering, so that at the end of the day, our students will be able to be employers and be able to create employment. Because we strongly believe that as MUT, once we do that, we'll be able to contribute positively to the country moving forward, because it is very difficult to get employment in these days. And at APSA, we extend our deepest appreciation to your unwavering support to our education and empowerment. We are very pleased that you are partnering with us in terms of ensuring that as a university, we get support from you and we are able to contribute to nation building. Because this entrepreneurship, I regard it as an element and an instrument that is building the country moving forward. Because without entrepreneurship, we'll be having so many problems. And as I was listening to the panelists here, they are coming with solutions that are required and needed by the country. And the very interesting one is that one of Nyaupe. Those of you who reside in township, you will know that Nyaupe is a disease that is killing young generation. Automatically, if you kill the young people in the country, you are killing that nation. So I'm very impressed with that. The element of cancer as well is another area that is very sensitive to most of us. And then if that can be sorted out as well, the issue of plastic, I was listening as well, is another element that needs to be addressed. And we have to make sure that we deal with that. The issue of also bacteria to deal with challenges and make sure that we produce whatever we produce is very interesting. And the element of agriculture as well. Agriculture is a backbone for every country on every nation, because without food, we can't survive. So we need to innovate ways and means to deal with issues of agriculture, of which is very important. And another element that is very interesting for me is that the entrepreneurship education to schools as well is the area that I can emphasize, that let us make it stronger, Because if we can teach our young generations to learn entrepreneurship skills while they are young at school level, so that when they come to tertiary level, it will be much better. And to make sure that at the end of the day, we'll be able to produce students, we'll be able to create jobs, that one's highlighted, so that at the end of the day, we are able to graduate students who will be able to take the country forward. Because it's not just for MUT, but or maybe for KZN region, but it's for the entire country. And the element of ensuring that we engage on entrepreneurship activities for academics so that they will be suitable to educate and lecture our students, maybe with practical examples and practical experience as well, so that the element that was highlighted, that we take people with theory to teach people to run business, but they don't know how the business can be run moving forward. It's something that we need to maybe look at it very closely so that at the end of the day, we're able to do what we have to do. And the element of support, I fully understand that when it comes to entrepreneurship, yes, of course, we can teach our student entrepreneurship, but that individual enthusiasm is required for an individual to make sure that he's able to run with issues of entrepreneurship. But at the very same time, the element of support, I think, is the area that is very critical. Because you can be enthusiastic, but if you don't have support, you won't be able to achieve what you achieve. You want to achieve. At the end of the day, I think, APSA, that's where we applaud you for that. I've heard about 1 million and 1.5 million. I have to think of something now. I'm busy thinking, but my thinking is not yet clear. But I'm looking at something that will take care of my cattle and goats at home. Because I'm here, if I can get a drone that can be somewhere there, I can control it with my phone while I'm here. I'm seeing where my cow and goat's going. This one is sick and detect some. You see now, I'm with you now, I'm getting there. So that at the end of the day, we move forward. But without taking too much of your time, I want to take this opportunity to thank you all for being part of this very historic milestone that we are in today. And let's hope that whatever that we are starting today is going to take us to the greater heights. And as young people of MUT and our sister universities, even beyond that, we'll be able to change and to contribute to this country so that it becomes one of the greatest country ever. Because with entrepreneurship, we can become one of the greatest country. Thank you very much for this opportunity. Make sure that you run and do your best and request for support. We promise that where we can, we'll give you that support. I'm pleased and I'm very happy for this initiative. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much to Dr. Njangase for such a profound and powerful closing. Can we have back Ms. Ntsiki Mkhize? Can we have back on stage Ms. Ntsiki Mkhize for an official opening of the entries? There's been a slight change on the program. I'm very much aware that's on your end. You'll see Ms. Kuto. However, there's been slight change. Okay. Can you all play the video, please? Our production team.
And I think this is like the land of ululations. But as long. Mine is just to say thank you on Eddie's part. I do want to say people have been watching us online and connecting. So I just want to say thank you so much to everybody who joined via the Zoom link as well as on YouTube. And just a specific shout out to Mr. Philip Shabalala from the Department of Higher Education and Training. He's online and the message we got from him was that DHIT extends a message of support to this landmark EDHE APSA Innovation Challenge National Launch and USAF APSA Partnership today at MUT. Congratulations and hoping for more returns on this important youth dividend investment. So please, can we have a round of applause for that? I think a key indication here is that we are in this room launching, but there are many joining us from APSA, from USAF, from DHIT to say that they are lending their support, they are lending their voices, and they want to see our studentpreneurs succeed. And so for the students who are going to be entering, I am happy to say that applications are open. Please head over to our website, www.edhe.co.za, right? Yes. and then online, you will find an expression of interest form. Fill out that form, and then we will send you the details for a briefing session. So just in case you missed anything or if you have any specific questions, we will have a briefing session. And then at that briefing session, we'll go through how exactly to apply, what the different categories are, what your innovations need to look like. Any questions that you have, we'll address that during the briefing session. And then afterwards, we'll then take you through the application form, and then you can complete your application. Applications will be open from today, the 25th of June, until the 25th of July. So you have a full month to go through and submit your applications. Once that's done, we'll run.
Thank you so much to our panelists. Sisnisigi, your apology is warmly accepted. So they really deserved more than enough time. And it's very much pleasing to actually see the potential that young people have. I now understand when the old stars says that the future of this world is in young people. And if indeed the country takes care of young people, who will definitely have a bright future ahead. So can you give a round of applause to our panelists? Can we have on stage Dr. Thulile Duma, who is the senior lecturer at Human Resource Management at Mangosuthu University of Technology, who will be introducing the Acting Deputy Vice Chancellor, Resource and Planning, Mangosuthu University of Technology. While Doctor is coming on stage, can we give a round of applause?
Thank you. Good afternoon to our executive management at MUT, our esteemed guests, our sister universities, and to our billionaires in the room. Yeah. So I have pleasure to introduce our DBC Resource and Planning at MUT, that is Dr. Jangase. Dr. Jangase, besides being Dr. Jangase at MUT, he is also an associate professor at the School of Management and IT and Public Governance at UKZN. He has a very good history, academic history, which started here at KZN, where he was studying at UKZN and also became a lecturer at UKZN. He has also worked at DUT and moved to TUT. And he stayed there at least for 4 years. And then he decided, no way, let me come back and plow back what I have learned all these years at MUT. And then at MUT, he is our dean. Currently, he is our dean of Faculty of Management Sciences. And the Faculty of Management Sciences has 5 departments. And also, Dr. Jangase has received awards, several awards. Amongst those awards, that was a Gold Research Award, which he received in 2023. In total, he has published
more than 20 publications and attended more than 15 conferences in locally as well as international conferences. He has also published several book chapters, and he has also supervised 14 masters and 2 PhDs, and also examined about 16 masters and 5 PhDs. And amongst the awards also that he got, he received 3.5 million from the National Department of Human Development. That is one of his achievements. And Dr. Njengase also is involved in community engagement projects. There are several projects that he is involved in. And part of those projects is food security, health and safety, and which is running currently. And he was also involved, and also involved, I think it's ongoing, in the skills development, where he was working with Mrs. Ntembo in social entrepreneurship. Dr. Njengase has made it easy for MUT to integrate entrepreneurship into our program. And the Faculty of Management Sciences in the Department of Accounting, that is the hosting department when it comes to entrepreneurship. They are assisting the management. Now I'm including all of them. They have made it so possible for us to take on the Wadwana program. They have established a wonderful laboratory that Mrs. Ntembo showed us here, and it was through the efforts that Dr. Njengase made for us to offer Wadwana program, which many students have studied. About 1,000 students have been through that project. And he has been very instrumental. And thank you, Dr. Njengase. Help me welcome Dr. Njengase to the stage. Thank you.
Vice Chancellor, Deputy Vice Chancellor who's here, and the executive management that is here, our guest, Absa Bank, our sister universities, UKZN, DUT, and UNISU. Students who are here, where are you? This is your day. You have to show that you are alive. As we are coming to the end of this great event for today, let me take this opportunity and to say thank you very much to DSE and to Absa Bank for the support that they're giving us as the universities. And at the end of the day, we are here today to make sure that we do take the issue of entrepreneurship serious, as we all aware that the entrepreneurship, we regard it as a solution for unemployment in the country. As we know that the unemployment rate in the country is so high, sometimes we have graduates that are unemployed, not because sometimes they're unemployable, but because the market is failing to absorb them. Therefore, the aspect of entrepreneurship needs to be taken seriously by all universities. While we're there, as the faculty, as MUT and the Faculty of Management Sciences, we started this years back to ensure that we introduce the entrepreneurship element in whatever the programs that we're offering, so that at the end of the day, our students will be able to be employers and be able to create employment. Because we strongly believe that as MUT, once we do that, we'll be able to contribute positively to the country moving forward, because it is very difficult to get employment in these days. And at APSA, we extend our deepest appreciation to your unwavering support to our education and empowerment. We are very pleased that you are partnering with us in terms of ensuring that as a university, we get support from you and we are able to contribute to nation building. Because This entrepreneurship, I regard it as an element and an instrument that is building the country moving forward. Because without entrepreneurship, we'll be having so many problems. And as I was listening to the panelists here, they are coming with solutions that are required and needed by the country. And the very interesting one is that one of Nyaupe. Those of you who reside in township, you will know that Nyaupe is a disease that is killing young generation. Automatically, if you kill young people in the country, you are killing that nation. So I'm very impressed with that. The element of cancer as well is another area that is very sensitive to most of us. And then if that can be sorted out as well, the issue of plastic, I was listening as well, is another element that needs to be addressed, and we have to make sure that we deal with that. The issue of also bacteria to deal with challenges and make sure that we produce whatever we produce is very interesting. And the element of agriculture as well. Agriculture is a backbone for every country, on every nation, because without food, we can't survive. So we need to innovate ways and means to deal with issues of agriculture, of which is very important. And another element that is very interesting for me is that the entrepreneurship education to schools as well is the area that I can emphasize, that let us make it stronger. Because if we can teach our young generations to learn entrepreneurship skills while they are young at school level, so that when they come to tertiary level, it will be much better. And to make sure that at the end of the day, we'll be able to produce students, we'll be able to create jobs, that one's highlighted, so that at the end of the day, we are able to graduate students who will be able to take the country forward. Because it's not just for MUT, but or maybe for KZN region, but it's for the entire country. And the element of ensuring that we engage on entrepreneurship activities for academics so that they will be suitable to educate and lecture our students, maybe with practical examples and practical experience as well, so that the element that was highlighted, that we take people.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.